Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Roll with the punches, I won't say that. But we're going to roll with the waves. That's what life is. There are a lot of waves in life. You're going to have high waves in a good sense. And you're going to have very, if you've ever surfed, anybody in here ever surfed or been involved in that kind of ocean? No, no? Okay. Well, when you're surfing, you're in the underside of it. And if you're really surfing, you are being towered over as you're surfing. And sometimes that's what it can feel like in life, where you're enjoying things and everything's wonderful, right? And you're riding that half pipe and you're down, and guess what happens? It commences to sucking you in, rolling you out, and then at some point or another spitting you out. See, that's what happens in life. What does the sum total of our integrity entail? Our response to these. What's your response to it? When everything goes, let's just say, down the drain. You think I was going to say something else. No, I was going to say down the toilet. But I said down the drain. When everything goes down the drain, what is your response? My question tonight is, are you rolling with the waves? Are you rolling with the punches? Are you taking what God gives you, recognizing that there... And I was today the whole time going, God, I wonder what the reason... Is there something that you protected me from today? There was something, there's some reason for this, and there's nothing that God allows in our life that doesn't have a reason. Nothing. Now, how many times have you had a flat tire? I saw somebody down here with a John Deere. It's on the side of the road. It's got some pretty big holes in the tires, it looks like. Glad it's not mine, because it doesn't look like those tires can be fixed. Sometimes you have those happen, but how many times when you've had a flat tire have you gotten out and, in a sense, said things you shouldn't say, all furious and all mad, and didn't even realize that the very thing that just happened to you, God spared your life as a result of that wreck, that accident. How many times has God wanted to slow somebody down, but they refused to be slowed down, and it cost them their life? I know there was a horrible accident yesterday. I know at least two people were killed. Anybody know about that one? A dump truck in the middle of nowhere that pulled in front of an Amtrak train. And I know the dump truck driver lost his life, and I think at least one person on the train. But it was at full speed. It was in the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of the prairies, somewhere out Midwest. And it was a catastrophic event. You never know how God can, in these little things, slow us down. When all those things happen and you wonder why, the answer should be why not? God, whatever you're doing, you don't do things for any reason. This was a big reminder today of the time back in years when I had my construction company. And I actually said to a couple people today, I said, you know, it's interesting because I remember when this sometimes was my days, this sometimes would be my week. One thing after another would be broken. Somebody wouldn't have gotten this. Somebody didn't show up. You had all these different things that were in play, and I could only control me. I can't control everybody else. The only person I can control is me, and it's very hard when we want to control everybody else, but we don't have that ability. We can only control us. So the more, in a sense, cogs in the wheel that you have, it can get really frustrating, and it can actually set us up. And the enemy, I think, many times, to display things that destroy every bit of that integrity, that testimony, and all that God's called us to be. What I hope tonight does, though, is just encourage you to roll with things. You know, we're getting into what we call, many times referred to as, the what days of summer? The dog days. You know what a dog wants to do right now, right? I'll tell you, come to the house. Sit in the shade and do a whole lot of nothing. And that's kind of this time of year, you know, we tend to get complacent and apathetic. And, you know, now everybody's going to start, you know, remember, Christmas is less than 6 months away. right? Oh, praise the Lord. You better start shopping. Huh? Somebody has it down. I bet somebody in their phone just looked and said, oh, it's 163 days till Christmas. But it's going to be fall before we know it. The end of this year will be, and we'll be starting out with, the words, 2023. Let's finish this year strong. Let's finish this month strong. We're getting ready to be at July. We're getting ready to experience July 4th again. I always loved July 4th. I don't know why. I guess it was when I was young. Had some really neat times as a kid. Experienced some really awesome fireworks displays. Really awesome time with family and friends. I remember 1976. I was 2 years old. You might say, there's no way you remember it. I remember it vividly. I could literally draw you a picture of Homestead Air Force Base and watching as we sat around the pond at Homestead Air Force Base and watching the Thunderbirds fly over and also watching the fireworks at night. That's been a lot of years ago. 45 years ago. Feels like it's been just 10, 20. It's been 45 years ago. Brothers and sisters, life is fleeting. It's hanging on for nobody. So what is getting all wound up, worked up, frustrated, destroying your testimony going to do? Anything other than hurt you, but most importantly, bring disgrace and dishonor on the name of Christ. I hope you found 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, one verse, verse 16. And if you're able, let's stand tonight out of reverence for the reading of God's word, if you're physically able. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Father, thank you for your word tonight. God, I pray you would speak to our hearts. God, may alone you be glorified, magnified, honored, lifted up. Father, the name above all names. If there's one here or watching online that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you would move in their hearts tonight, that they would not leave here without first experiencing the gift of salvation found only in Jesus Christ. We commit this and we ask it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What a great verse. And I say that because may the Lord of peace, how many people desire peace? You might be a drama queen. You can live it. You can enjoy it. I want to be invited to your party. I'll be honest, life's got enough trouble. I ain't got time for drama. If you want it, you can have it. And I'm not even joking. Some people, literally, it's just like a presentation of drama. Everything's one big dramatic event after another. Everything is one. At our house, it is one big drama show. Because when you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. If you have girls, you really know what I'm talking about. Amen? It's the truth. Everything is a Category 5 hurricane. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. My hair won't work today. I can't get my curls to stay in. It's just one thing after another. Amen? After another. Man, moms, y'all are really getting it. Y'all are enjoying this, but it's the truth. So you know what I mean when I say peace is something that in big families where we have children is in short supply. Because it's difficult, isn't it? Everybody's got a life-shaking event, and everything's a life-shaking event. So if you're a me, it's one thing if you have one person that has a life-shaking event, but once this person gets over it, guess what happens? You have this one, and then you have this one, and then you have this one, and each person just thinks they're adding a little bit to your plate, but in reality, everybody's got one, so that makes your plate really, really high. It's like going to the buffet and saying, I'm just going to get one scoop of everything. By the time you walk away from it, you like the clumps. Remember the clumps? They went into the buffet, and they ate everything in the whole place. I remember that movie from years ago. They went into the buffet, and the family gets all you can eat for whatever, $4, and they go in there, and each one of them gets them a plateful, and there's nothing left in the entire buffet line. It's gone. But that's what happens. And when you experience that, it is sometimes the only thing you desire is peace. You'll meet our senior saints sometimes. I've met a lot of older people that say, you know, it's just boring. I don't have anything to do. As I look at them, and they don't even understand, I'm coveting trading places with them for a week or two. Because I could stand to sit on a porch with a pitcher of lemonade for about a month. And you're laughing. You're like, you could never do that. You have no idea. You really don't, because I can sit a spell something serious. But what is peace? It's that thing that we all, if you're sane, you're cognizant, and you're relatively normal, it's the thing that you desire. You know what it's like when you don't have peace in your home, don't you? Anybody in here say, you know, I kind of like that. That's kind of nice when I'm not at peace. I like that. Well, again, I would encourage you to check yourself in the trust point for about 2 weeks and get yourself some professional counseling and some medication. You need some. Because if you don't desire peace, there's something fundamentally wrong with you. Because the human condition has been created to live in a state of peace. You look at Adam and Eve. They did not live in a state of peacelessness. They lived in a state of peace. God created us. We have been designed to live in a state of peace. But the first part of that verse 16, I want to share this with you. If it's not peace, it's not of the Lord. If the things in your life you're dealing with right now are not bringing you peace in some semblance, shape, fashion, or form, it's not of God. It's not of God. Well, how could you say that? Well, I'll tell you why, because the scripture says, what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, excuse me, there is peace. So if there is a situation that you're in right now that doesn't have peace, then it is not of God. And I would encourage you to search the root of it out, because you will find out it has everything to do with the footprints, the fingerprints of Satan. And it needs to be excommunicated, excised, removed from your presence. Because what it will do is actually steal your peace. It won't bring you peace. It will steal your peace. And again, though, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. So if you desire to dwell in His presence, you will dwell in a state of peace. Because again, His presence is where peace is. So I pray tonight, as you think about that, as you meditate on that, look at your life, step back, do that introspective look. Look from the outside in, reflectively. All of us need to do this, really, I think, continually. It's important to do this. What is my spirit? What's my heart? What's the condition of my relationships right now? And if it's not peace, it's not the Lord. What does the scripture say also? As much as it, what? Live at peace with all men. As much as it depends on you. So therefore, if you're not able to bridge that gap, it doesn't have anything to do with anything other than, well, personalities involved. So let's do a personality, reflective, introspective look. What am I doing that's preventing this from being fixed? Because really, is it the pride of you hanging on to what you think's important, or what you think you want, or what you think everybody should do? Well, there you go. That's the problem right there, you. Well, they don't this and they don't that. Well, I'll tell you what, if you just let go of it, it will, I'll fly away, old glory, right? Amen. You let the cage open and set what you think should be done free, what happens? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's peace. You're going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to come and get in the middle of that situation. But most often, sadly, it only can happen when people release what they think should be done and what they feel should happen. They need to roll with the waves. They need to roll with the waves. Again, I hearken back to when we were building the church. Can you imagine if I said, I don't want this color. I don't want that carpet. I don't want this. I want chairs. I don't care what it costs. What do you, no, it's me. It matters about me. Well, guess what? Not only is that not of the Lord, that's not going to bring a cohesive sense of unity and peace. I don't care if it is purple in here. I really don't. Now, some of you go, would have driven me crazy. Let it drive you crazy. You're showing then it's about you. And you can have just as wicked of a heart as everybody else, and you could have been the one that could have caused trouble to everybody else. And maybe you pushed and wanted things that ended up being done because you wanted it, and it's your heart. Well, you're the one that will have to deal with that. It's not mine. But I'm talking about a spirit of unity is one that it doesn't matter. We just want a cohesive body of brothers and sisters that want to glorify, magnify, and lift up King Jesus, because that is ultimately what matters. This building, brothers and sisters, is passing away. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. We don't have to worry about it falling down. We don't have to worry about the termites allowing the place to implode from within. We don't have to worry about the people that had a lot of trouble with their asthma that would come in the church and literally start hacking the moment they came in. We don't have those things. It's a blessing. God's blessed us. But this building is not the house of God. This is merely a place that the body of Christ worships in. Amen? And by the way, if you want to challenge me on that, I encourage you to find scripture that tells me this is the house of the Lord. That's OT. Anybody know what OT is? Old Testament, Old Covenant. God doesn't dwell in a home no more. The home he dwells in is right here in our hearts. That is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I'm thankful that as far as I know, everybody in this body of Christ right here, this is a building we meet in. They ain't in love with this building. As a matter of fact, if this building blew away tonight, you know what? I'd say where we're going to meet, but I wouldn't be out there moaning, weeping, wailing, and carrying on, because this is nothing more than a building. And I'm thankful that it can be rebuilt. If lives are safe and everybody's okay, hey, I'm great. Because none of this stuff, I don't care about anything. I really don't. Stuff is nothing. It's merely a means to an end. So we got to learn to roll with the waves. Pray if you're a person that's a control freak. I know a lot of people that battle that. Man, control is a hard, hard, hard thing to let go of. I've dealt with people that are paralyzed by it. If they don't control everything, I know people that have told me that their entire vacations are literally scheduled hour by hour. I told them, just telling me that, you exhausted me. Just telling me that you would do that. I said, if you got in the car with me, I'd tell you, you better take some nerve pills or something, because I will not live like that. I'm going to go and enjoy myself. And me, every hour or so, we've spent 13 minutes too long at the beach. Do what? I'm going to stay here another 10. I don't care. That's the way that I want to, I'm going to roll with the waves. Just let what happens happen. Amen? Now, should we do like they do in Peru or in South America? Hey, Sunday, we're going to have church about noon. Well, it might be 3 in the afternoon. Might be 7 or 8, or maybe not have it at all. And everybody's just like, well, whatever happens, happens. Now, I think you have to have structure. Okay, that's important. But at the same time, I want a spirit of peace. There are certain times in life that everything doesn't need to be scheduled. Amen? Yes, you need to go to work at the right time, and you should do those kind of things that are important to do. But don't live your life so incredibly controlled that you're not able to have a spirit of peace in your home. I've known wives or husbands that have had so much control over, not, you know, scared to death that something may be misplaced in the home, that when people came over there, they're just freaked out. Scared that something might get knocked over, knocked out of place, and then somebody will get upset and angry. Can you imagine? That's not a home. That's like living in a museum. I would have no peace in a home like that. Thank the Lord we've gone to the other extreme. Amen? We ain't worried about anything. No, I'm just joking. But those things, I don't care in my life. I don't want my life to be so overwhelmingly controlled that I have no peace. There's one place in my life that I want very straight: in my car, inside. The reason is, if anything moves while I'm driving, I'll wreck a car. Because for whatever reason, psychologically, many years ago, things would start rolling around the car and I'd go to grab them. It freaks me out. I don't know why, but I keep everything in a car where it can't roll around and I keep it organized. That's the one thing. Now, if things get in there and get all, that's okay. I don't get too upset about it. I'll put them where they won't roll so that I don't have to get psychologically distracted by these things, because it's very important in a car to stay focused, and I understand that. But you've got to roll with the waves in life. If you need an area of your life that you have structured so that you have a sense of peace in it, don't micromanage your entire life, though, because what it does, it'll rob you of peace. And if you have an issue with controlling everything, I'll tell you what I'd encourage you to do tonight during invitation. Get up here and get on your face before God and say, God, I recognize that my desire to hyper-control everything, it is in no way a godly thing. It's actually a control thing. And Lord, I have watched you all throughout Scripture, and I've watched you in so many lives, including this man here. God, you are really good at taking control away from people. So Father, I want to give this to you so you don't have to, ready? So you don't have to take it from me. Because when God takes control from you, brothers and sisters, it's never pretty. Amen? There is never a beautiful picture when God has to take something from us. I will just tell you what it is most often. It's extremely painful. So learn the lessons the easy way. Learn to roll with the waves. Learn the spirit of peace without God having to take all your peace from you. So you will then fundamentally have to start from the ground up learning one step at a time what peace is. And then that second half of the second part of verse 16. So you got, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. And we'll stop there. And the second thing I want to share with you tonight, God will give you peace in every way. Here we are. When he is Lord. Lordship. I have pastors that'll fundamentally disagree. What's lordship stuff? I don't buy into that. You don't have to. Because if you understand, though, the process of what lordship is, how in the world can God be your savior and not the Lord of your life? What is the Lord responsible for in someone's life? Everything. We are doulos. You look it up in the Greek. We are slaves. We're supposed to be slaves to Christ. Amen? That's what Scripture says. It's not what I say. It's what God's Word says. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you don't think that's slavery, then I don't know what to say to you. We can look all through the gospel. It is a death to us being risen in Christ. Galatians, Ephesians, all through the Scripture, we see a dying of self, a being raised in Christ. So we watch this whole process of us dying to ourselves, being raised in the Lord, and living for everything I do in word or deed, do it all the glory of God. Everything about our life is supposed to be his plans, his perfect will, his desire, and everything for our life. So, when we allow him to be the Lord, we have peace. God will give us peace in every way when he is Lord. If he's not Lord, we can't live at peace. Brothers and sisters, you see this prosperity doctrine that is so prevalent these days. You've heard me say, listen, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I will tell you, I'm a whole lot smarter than I may look. I look dumb, but I'm not nearly as dumb as I look. If the gospel gave me an ability to understand that and know it and it be true, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, not a one of them, Jim Baker, not one of them would have anything on me, because I would preach it harder, louder, and we'd have a daggone airstrip out here and we'd be flying all over the world in our fleet of jets. We'd have ATMs, automated tithing machines out front. We'd have them all over town. We'd be wearing it out. Because, right, if that was the truth, then my whole entire purpose in life is to be healthy and wealthy, right? And it should start with me as the pastor. But that's not true. That's not the gospel. It's not truth. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to live as paupers? No. God blesses some people with lots of money to be able to use for his glory. There's nothing wrong with money. Now you'll hear people misuse Scripture. Oh yeah, money's the root of all evil. That is a mischaracterization of Scripture. Love of money is the root of all evil. Money in and of itself is not inherently wrong. It's what's done with it, and it's the motivation behind the gathering of it, the hoarding of it. And all of the things that happen when a heart has gotten corrupted and a heart seeks the dollar instead of lordship, instead of Christ. So it's very important for us to recognize that so many people will sometimes make you think, you know, God's blessed me and, you know, I feel bad about it. No, don't feel bad that God's blessed you. Use it for his glory. Use it as an avenue with which to lift up and proclaim the name of Christ. Don't hoard bunch of money and die stinking wealthy as all get out one day. Use it for his glory while you're still breathing so you can watch the kingdom expand and you be a part of that. That's the part that's always bothered me. Why won't somebody allow God to use? Why does God have to snatch it from their dead hands one day to potentially use it if your kids have half a brain, half a sense, or any spiritual sense? Why in the world? I tell my parents, this is true, I can hear it, they can watch it again. Spend it all. Don't leave anything. I don't care, it doesn't matter. Money's nothing. Money is a means to an end. I want my parents to use it for God's glory when they're still breathing. Use it to bless people. Use it to be an extension of Christ and see the blessing that God's given them be used to expand the kingdom. I got sane brothers. Thank the Lord. Truly I do. My brothers aren't suffering, financially speaking. So it's not in the positions that so many people would be where, you know, and I told them, I said, listen, y'all ever want to fight with whatever's left? You can have it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Relationships broken, money means nothing. It's nothing. It's hard for some people to have that mindset, though. I don't know why, but it is. It's very difficult. See, God will give you peace in every way when he's Lord. You will not allow money to lord over you because you have the Lord of creation with which you bow to. You will not allow that trap to be anything other than the trap that it is and seen for that. And you'll proclaim it and you'll share the truth of it and you will live the truth of it in front of your children. You will model that to them to be good stewards of the resources God's given them, but also at the same time to make sure they live it, because it's easy to speak it, but it's very difficult to walk it. And then the final part, we're done. The Lord be with you all. So may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. We know the pre-qualifications for that now as we've looked at this. The Lord be with all of you. And the third and final thing I want to share with you comes, it's basically kind of an overview of all of it. Do you pray for God's comfort, peace, and presence over every person you encounter? Now, when I said every, this is a kicker. How many people in here have... How many people have begun doing, remember when I talked about people in my life that have hurt me and I pray blessings over them and I pray that God would prosper them and would bless them? Has anybody in here started doing that since I've been teaching and preaching that? Praise God. That's encouraging. And is it not a freeing thing? I told you the first time you ever do it, it's like going up to Home Depot and getting that, there's a 84 lumber used to have, and they may still have them, I don't know, but I used to buy when I was doing roofing, 50-pound box of roofing tacks. You can get them in quarter inch, eighth inch, all the way up three-quarter inch and a half, 2 inch. It's like taking a box, those eighth inch roofing tacks, and turning it up and getting your mouth the whole time. When you're praying, that's what it feels like. Because it is so polar opposite of what I used to do, as I would sit there and say, you just give me enough time and I'm going to get you. I was one of those people that played the long game. I would wait until you'd forgotten all about it. So when it came, you didn't know who it come from, but it got you good. That's how angry and how cunning and how vindictive and how wicked my mind was apart from Christ. And boy, was it hard when God started transforming my heart as I saw the scripture call me to pray for those who persecute you. Wait a minute, I used to lay up at night and think about how I could most horrifically ruin this person's life that I would be angry at. All this 180-degree turn, and now you're praying that God blesses them? It sounds like I'm on drugs. You know, my own conscience believed that, are you on drugs? No, this is what living as a follower of Christ is, not just talking about it. See, that's the difference. And when you start praying for that person, see, that's what the scripture calls us to do. And in this verse right here, the Lord be with all of you. Do you want God with you? How can God be with you when you hate your brother whom you have seen and claim to love your heavenly Father whom you've not? That's a scripture verse. There is no subsections in scripture that give us the authority to hate. And if anybody who would like to be able to do that, if the time arises, you're looking at them. But there's no place in Scripture. I know this full well. So therefore, what I either have to do is either have to live as a Christian and operate as a Christian, or I can step outside of God's blessing and apart from the cohesive bond of walking in peace, love, joy, faithful commitment, and all that God calls, and I can step out and excuse myself from the camp, as we see in the Israelites, right? And oh man, it's really nice out in the desert out here by yourselves. Kind of like a little mini vacation, guys. Y'all come on out here and join me. No, they're not coming outside of the camp, because outside of the camp is a place of judgment. It's not blessing. You want to live in the midst of the camp? I would encourage you to look at the stories I'm talking about with Moses and the Israelites out in the wilderness. When someone would be caught in sin, they were placed outside the camp until they were able to be restored. And what they were, the significance of that is just showing you that this attitudes and actions will place you outside of God's covenantal blessing into a place of loneliness, a place of isolation, a place that is not a place of peace and of blessing. It's a place of pain, hurt, separation, and brokenness. Tonight, roll with the waves. Roll with the waves in your church body. Roll with the waves in your home life. Now, man, I'm not telling you to roll with the waves in the leadership that God's called you. That's a whole different ballgame. I'm talking about in the things of life and the things that will come, because you may be literally on top of a wave right now, having a wonderful time, and you're just sitting back and everything is rosy and sunshine, and tomorrow morning by 7 o'clock, there's going to be a fundamental life-transforming event. You don't even have a clue that's coming at you like a tsunami. But what you do now in preparation for that will determine how you handle that tomorrow. By the way, it might not be tomorrow, it might be next month, it might be next year, but I can assure you, in a crowd this size, every one of us will have multiple events in our lives when we get phone calls, just like the one I got, 3 months ago now, that took me to my knees. It's going to happen in our lives. I assure you. So you can begin preparing for that now by learning to roll with the waves in the spiritual sense of, God, prepare me, prepare my heart, prepare my integrity, prepare me as I learn and I grow and I impress and burn your word on my heart, Father, so that when these things happen, I will handle them with the honor, the grace, the dignity, and the godliness that Job did. And all throughout Scripture, when godly men and women had insurmountable obstacles, brokenness, things taken from them, hurt, shame, disgrace, death, possible death. Look at the honor and dignity, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at the incredible God-honoring picture of Daniel when called to bow down to one other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. But look at the outflow and the outcome of that. It brought glory and honor to the Lord. But that doesn't happen by you getting a phone call and going, okay, great, I'm getting ready to start praying and everything's going to be fine. No, it happens now as you and I prepare and we dig ramparts. You know what ramparts are? Protective barriers. They're protective barriers so that when the enemy comes with those big battering rams, these ramparts enabled them not to get up on the city walls and knock them down. Think about moats, the same function. So you've got the moats and you've got the ramparts. Those are spiritual protective barriers. But if you're not allowing God to do that, and think about Ephesians, the end of Ephesians, it talks about the full armor of God. If you're not allowing, through obedience, to have the full armor of God to armor you up, how in the world will you ever stand against an adversary that desires not only your personal complete destruction, but your family, your workplace, most assuredly, your church body. Tonight, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to begin preparing for those days that we will all inevitably face? Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word and this simple single verse, Father, that has so much in it.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.